Thank you. the one who gives us everything, and the gifts of God are so good. I invite you to settle into this place of peace. I invite you to settle into your seats and to make this place a place of peace. I invite us to turn our attention to God and to one another. Turn your attention inward to the presence of God within and all around. And we'll call one another together to worship today. There are words printed in our bulletin. And we'll say them together as we feel comfortable. In every part of the world, there are those who praise you. They form a great congregation of the faithful. And this is their sign. The poor no longer go to bed hungry. The weak are protected, and strangers are welcomed into the fold. God gives life to the forgotten.
Thank you.
turn your attention inward. And be aware of the presence of God within you and all around you. And I invite you, maybe for just this moment, and I invite you at this moment to remember that in this way, you have everything that you need. Maybe I even just invite you to imagine that you lack for nothing. With the presence of God within you and all around you, you have enough, and you are enough. And with these people gathered around you, we will listen to and we will care for one another's needs. In this space, in this community, in this gathering of souls, we have everything that we need. As I've heard said before, we may not have it all together, but together we have it all. And we can be for one another a filling, a piecing together, to make a whole. We can become for one another the body of Christ. We become with one another the body of Christ. So I invite us to practice this. Maybe one day it will become true, and maybe we will just imagine it now. But let us pretend, and let us see in our hearts. And let us fill for one another needs. Let us carry one another's burdens and share one another's joys. Are there joys or concerns that you would share at this time?
I have sad news. The first week of November, I'm moving to Red Wing.
Oh. We're taking it in, Muriel. It's good for you?
My guardian.
Boy. Her guardian. Oh, her guardian wanted it, and it's home. It's home for you, Muriel. Is that feels good?
As we see pictures of the devastation in Florida, I think we need to keep all of those people in our prayers. It's really hard to believe what they're living through and what they're going to be living with for the months to come.
I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. Oh, sorry.
And we just pray for comfort in her life.
I'd just like to ask for prayers for my daughter. She's making some difficult life decisions. Here we go. You may not have it all together, but together we have it all, yeah? And I invite you to hold these thoughts and words of people in your heart. And I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words printed that we can share together. You can share them together saying, God of all, hear this offering of prayer and praise. God loves you. You are a child of God. God loves you and knows you. And together we are all the children of God. In this confidence then, we pray. We pray as Jesus taught us. We pray to our common parent, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass
put in a paper bag.
Last will be first.
stewardship sermon. It's the in the calendar of the year, it's maybe the Sunday that most people take off. For good reasons. Why do you want to hear another stewardship sermon? You've heard them all before. And maybe it is that all the churches ever talk about is asking you for your money. And maybe it is that all churches ever do is ask you for your money. But today is not my stewardship sermon, because we have had a little shift in our program and in the life of our church, and we're not engaging in our stewardship program this year in the way that maybe we have in the past. Is that right, Pete?
Yep.
Am I saying it right?
Mm-hmm.
Our nursery is leaving, and it's causing us to think and have opened up different doors and opportunities for us. So we don't know yet how that's going to play out or what that might look like in our community. So I think in a beautiful way, our finance team encouraged us and our community faith to pause and to not engage in a typical stewardship campaign. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to talk about money. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to talk about money again and again and again over the course of the years to come. I feel kind of janky about having a stewardship campaign anyway, because I think it's the deeper heart, the deeper situation, the deeper plea for us is not to have a stewardship campaign that we lock into 1 month out of the year, but that our whole lives are lived following Jesus. That we become a disciple of Jesus. And we become a disciple of Jesus by what we do and how we think and how we act and how we engage in the community and how generous we are is a big part of the disciple of following Jesus. Jesus gave everything that he had away. That is how we follow Jesus. So yeah, I'm going to talk about money. I'm going to talk about money not just today, but I think you'll probably hear me talking about money later. I'm going to talk about money because Jesus talks about money. Jesus talks about money more than anything else in the scriptures. Well, he talks about the kingdom of God, big one. That's the big thing that he talks about. The second big thing that Jesus talks about is money. Of the 39 parables in the New Testament, 11 of the parables are about money. The other ones are about the kingdom of God. Does Jesus talk about money because he cares so much about money? No, he talks about money because we care so much about money. We love money. And sometimes I think we love money more than we love people or the planet. Not you. I mean, not you, but some people out there. I don't think God cares about money. God loves you, your heart, your soul, your being, not your stuff. You can't make God love you more, either by getting more stuff or by throwing it all away. God loves you. God is love, and love is the most powerful force on the planet. And money is pretty powerful, too. We know that. We buy, acquire, and merge, and build equity, and invest, and nations rise and fall, and people and all creation are affected by what we do with our money. Our choices make the world we are living in. We have options, choices, and opportunities. What do you think? How do you think we are doing with the stuff that we have? What we do with our choices and our hearts and our lives and our money matters. So I'll preach about money again. And it is a worthy topic of conversation because we all are influenced. But
with love in my heart. And I actually think I mean this. I don't care how much money you give to the church. I do care about our church and the church, and I pray and will work for our growth and sustainability. And I think the world really needs churches. I think churches are good and do some good in the world. And I do think I need to grow in my business acumen. So I'm participating in a mini MBA, and you are helping to pay for that. Thank you very much. And I actually thought I was going to die the week when we had to analyze budgets. We had 7 budgets that we had to analyze, and I thought I might not make it. But I will keep track of the general trends in giving. And yes, I will say it, you can give more money. But I really don't care if you give more money to our church. I'm your pastor. And I will be your pastor whether you are homeless or whether you live at Glen Sheen. Yes, you can give more money. But really, there are lots of worthy places to give and to share your resources. The world needs a revolution of the distribution of our resources. And the world needs more people who are molded and committed to building peace and justice and equality and love. We need God's kingdom here on earth. So do that. That's what our money could do if we wanted it. And that is what I care about. So I'm not going to monitor your money or your giving to our church. And I pray that I will not treat you any differently based on the amount of money that you have or that you give. And if you think I am, kick me really hard in the shins, because it's just not cool to be that kind of person. I'm your pastor. And I care about money because I know that you care about money. Like, I care about debt and divorce and death. All of those things affect us. So preach about it and talk about it and hope that we will honestly engage in conversations about the things that scare us. And I know that sometimes I'm scared about money. I worry about money. Honestly, I don't worry about money as much as I used to, because I think I kind of got a raise coming here. And I never had a savings account before, and now I actually, well, I did have a savings account, but I didn't have any money in it. And now I do. But I struggled forever. All the way until I came here, I struggled to make ends meet. And at the end of the pay period, I knew what the end of the pay period was. I worried whether I had money in the bank. But you know that. You all know that because you know how much money I make. You pay me. Everything I buy, I'm very aware. I'm able to buy because someone put money in the offering plate. So I kind of have to talk about money in an open and honest way, or else it's just weird, isn't it? If I didn't talk about that, like the weird elephant in the room, I used to feel really weird about it. But I talked to Jesus and my mom and friends and church people, and it's just realizing that we all give and receive. It's part of the great giving and receiving that we all experience. We all give and receive. So let's talk about it openly and honestly as we build a church and as we grow in love with one another. Because honestly, if you have a hard time giving money away, you have a problem with money. And I say that first to myself because I have a hard time giving money away. And honestly, why? Because I need more stuff? Because I need another cute dress? The answer is yes.
to do? And Jesus looked at him and said, dude, you have too much stuff. What do you mean with all that stuff? Get rid of your stuff and follow me. And one of the ways we can follow the path of Jesus is to cultivate daily rhythms of simplicity, such as meditation and gratitude, so we can experience the deep contentment and joy and confidence of the presence of God. The presence of God who is the source of everything that we need. How are you doing on that, by the way? Daily meditations, remember? 10 minutes a day? Giving thanks? Writing all your gratitude down? I know it's hard. And not everybody can do it. But we try.
Thank you. just that the freezer is almost empty. If you took a container, please bring it back and have it full. We need stuff in the freezer for fellowship.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Freeling, and this is my husband, Al. We're former members of Vista Park Church, but now members here. Yay. So Thursday, I got a call from Maurice that said they had 22 cases of jeans that need button cut. And so Al and I went and picked them up, and then Pastor Sarah and Sue even helped us unload and find a spot for them. But what I need from you is buttons, for one thing, size, nickel size or quarter size, because we've got lots of jeans to combine. They're all brand new jeans, beautiful jeans. And then this Thursday from 9 to 2, we're going to be having a little sewing project. So what I'd like you to do is, if you can, and if you want to come and help us, bring some buttons if you have them. We have some too. Bring your scissors and thread and needles and something for a potluck lunch. But if you don't sew and just have buttons, you can just bring them to the church office.
And what do you do with the stuff?
Well, we bring it over to CASDAQ. It's a homeless shelter for women and children that have gotten kicked out of their homes and have no place to go. And sometimes they have to go to work. Now, we don't always have jeans to repair. We also get batches of clothing. And we have some real creative sewers that take a sleeve off of this one and put it on that one. And it's a fun project. It really is. And so hope to see you if you can.
And folks who need it get brand new clothes.
Folks need brand new clothes, and it's nice stuff too.
Are you doing it at the church from 9 to 2?
In the fellowship hall down here. Thank you.
Wow, that's a great project. I'm just here to remind you about our coats, sweaters, and mittens and hats for Damiano in the back corner of the coat rack back there. We're going to go for one more week and then we're going to deliver those. So if you have extra winter outerwear, I know there's a couple snowmobile suits back there. Those are wonderful. If anyone else has a snowmobile suit they don't use anymore, bring it here. And the second thing that I have is purple yarn and an announcement for the Lydia Project. I'm going to read this from the sheet. The United Methodist General Conference will be coming to Minnesota in 2020. The United Methodist World Conference will be coming to Minneapolis in 2020. The Dakota, Minnesota area has a wonderful opportunity to come together and provide hospitality for this event. So we invite greet every delegate, dignitary, bishop, and spouse with a handmade scarf, because they're coming from all over the world to chilly Minnesota. And we hope that these will be a practical solution for chilly, air-conditioned meeting rooms. So the goal is 10,000 purple scarves. It takes one $3 skein, a crochet hook, or some knitting needles to make one scarf 6 inches by 6 feet long. And we're going to collect those here. And I'd like everybody to sort of let me know if you're able to do this, because we need to give them a number. We need to pledge a number. And I think some of you have already started. I heard Barb's already started. Yeah. So I know there's people here who could probably do a scarf in one evening.
Or, like, remember the 101 things to do during a morning sermon?
We'll fall in the front and we'll make scarves.
Totally acceptable.
is very quick. It's going to be October 28th from 3 to 5. If you can bring your car, fill it full of goodies, that would be great. And also dress up that day. There's a little sign up sheet in the back if you want to join in the fun. Thank you.
Good morning. That same weekend, the youth are going to be getting together for a little fun on that Friday, October 26th. And we're going to carpool to go to the Haunted Shack. So meeting RSVPs by next Sunday for that. The information is in the newsletter. But meeting here at 7 o'clock. And that's open to middle, high school, and college students. So. Yes, and yes, I need some adult help too and some support because I'm going to be scared. So. Thank you.